Adam, you get ready.
Hi. Okay. Do you have the Ravon here? I just wanted to. Oh, you have it on the computer. Okay. Okay. Again, we're a little pressed again. I'm sorry, we're so pressed for time, but we'll try to catch up. So, just regarding what we have. Festivities coming up, right? So we have limitations for that reason, and we'll, I guess, talk about the Yonah the Yoma then. Regarding Eved V'Amo, so mostly I think we went through what we needed to discuss. just want to add a few points that we weren't able to get to, and also one point that Natan brought to my attention. Again, pretty much what we've seen is that the Shakav Tari of the Gemara can be read, the two parts of the Shakav Tari of the Gemara, we'll say, can be read in two ways. Both are very, very critical, not just for reading those few lines, which would be enough, but for the bigger, you know, picture that we're dealing with. One is that the Gemara is simply trying to neutralize the factor of Kavanos al Hazik per se, right, to try to demonstrate, I'm just repeating so far what we said, to try to demonstrate that alone is not sufficient, or maybe it's a factor that doesn't even play any kind of role, to neutralize that factor by showing cases where there's kavanos al-hazik, which doesn't produce a result of chiyuv tashlum. That's one possibility. That's the, I guess, narrowest way to read that line of the Gemara. And the alternative, of course, being something which is very, not, I wouldn't say sensational, but, very important, and that is the idea that Kavanos al-Hazik, not just to show that it doesn't or isn't, not enough or it isn't a factor, but to try to show that sometimes it can be a contrary factor, and that it, there can be too much Kavanos al-Hazik, namely that the independence of the Mazik is sometimes, when it reaches a certain point, is sometimes a basis for kula, for the owner, because it breaks, again, the tziruf, either in terms of the tziruf to the Maisa Hezek, or to the Mechayib of Choser Shmira, maybe even to the bank account link, which is a weaker link. My bank account does extend, to the Mamono's actions, but maybe certain kind of actions and not other kind of actions. And, like Mamono has two personas, right? He's Mamona Batoras Mamono, if you will. And then, my bank account, covers his. In other words, the card works or whatever. And then there's, that whole separate, private shut off part of his life, Mamono's, that is, whether a Mamono is a person or Mamono is an animal in this particular case. And as far as that's concerned, the bank account doesn't extend to that. Only Mamono, Bitoras Mamono, let's say. So that's a very, very important principle, one which, even if we end up rejecting it in terms of being a factor in terms of regular Karen, we still may accept in two different ways. We may accept it in more extreme cases where Kavanos al-Hazik, is even stronger. Again, that's the yesod, is something that we accept. Or, that's one echo. So if you have like a super Kavanos al-Hazik, a super Mazik, we'll talk about that. Maybe you'll get that effect still. And again, by the way, that might have been, as I think this is one of the things that we said, in trying to explain why, Karen Mechubar, might be, Pater Legamri, while Karen Tolush, wouldn't. You could say Xeris Akasu, if there is such a Havamina. You could say Xeris Akasu, right? But one explanation for the Xeris Akasu might be that Dafka, it's in that sweet spot, if you will, depending on your point of view, of being too natural and therefore too much part of the, act of the behema, whereas Karen Talush is maybe just, off the wall or something like that. Anyways, that's one echo. And the other echo being that you know, maybe we're right about this factor being you know, being significant, being a chalos. We're just wrong about it being potor. You know, maybe, you know, it's chayiv b'toras ma'isa shoro, you know, for this reason. What we're wrong about is the bankrupt car count, you know, part of it. And there really is this idea of, you know, hemshech ma'isav or koser shmirah. So again, this is the things that we said. Then, of course, the third echo is not other cases of Karen per se, but things like Evan B'yam. So then comes the second half of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, what are you talking about? You know, Evan V'yama isn't a paradigm. That's Tama Rabba Ika. And there, too, as we explained, there are basically two ways to interpret. One is that that's, you know, completely off the beaten path. That's a complete exotic din. It's a marginal din. You know, it's an extraneous din is the best way to say it. And that's Shema Yaknitenu. You know, it's like a, you know, against the grain of the halachos, and that's why Tama Rabba Ika. Not going to quote that. You know, it's not because it's too much. It's just because it's, you know, it has a whole different, you know, policy aspect to that. We'll see in a moment. That could be Daraisa. That could be Drabanan. The Pashtus, that would be Drabanan. But as we'll see, I mean, principle, it could be Daraisa. We'll talk about that in a second. Or what the Gemara is saying is that Tama Rabba Ika, meaning the Yesod, which is that, you know, a two independent TOO independent, you know, mazik is a reason for you to be potur because it's really his chiyuv. That Yesod is 1,000% correct, right? But in a dome, the shore and the adam. And that's because, you know, being a bardas, or not subject to shmira, or some combination of being a bardas and not subject to shmira, is precisely what breaks the tziruf. But in an animal, you don't have that. Or maybe in a typical animal, you don't have that. And that, of course, is the, again, the fundamental way. So the Tama Rabba isn't, no, this is an exception. It's not this halacha, it's the opposite. It's no, you're totally right, but there's an excellent reason why we draw the line. And that's certainly how we explain. So we already talked about, you know, nafkamina. We talked about the Bi'iri Shita, which is that it's a didrabanan, mishum tikkun olam. It sounds like Rashi holds that, not that it's mishum tikkun olam, if you ask me, but it does certainly sound like Rashi holds that this is an extraneous halacha. Right, because Rashi says, what is it? De? Is that the language of Rashi? Oh, I'm wrong. I mean, I can use it in a second. It's not completely wrong. Right. This I forgot. I think we didn't mention it last time, but de mechayvesle kol shoshi yachisenu rabo yelech viad legedisho shochaver kde lechaybo es rabo. So I think the word de is not a reflection of the fact. Like, had it been different, this is what it would happen, or this could happen. That's indicative of, which is the fundamental way, the way I think the Rambam understood it. And I think the most appealing way. You wouldn't say de, right? You would say, you know, as reflected by. De means, like, you know, if you go this route, then you have to live with this result. And from a policy point of view, that's unacceptable. And therefore, you know, we, you know, cut off this particular avenue. So according to Rashi, it certainly sounds like it is a siag daraisa, as opposed to the Meiri, who holds certainly that it is a dindra banan. And I think Natan mentioned this to me also, but I have this on my list anyway. The Talmud Rabbeinu Tam also seems to think, I think, that this is an extraneous halacha, but he doesn't think that it's a din drabanan. I forgot to bring it. Do you have that also? And so also in the Kamoi.
Yeah.
He has a long piece, seems to be into this topic. A lot of things he says are very repetitive and very unclear. He himself uses the language of gimgum a lot. But at one point, he makes it clear that he thinks that this is an extraneous halacha, but a daraisa. You have it? Go ahead.
Near the hut, the kamasik hapi shavu kapitan lavishum de bailamir in the daraisa, adimichayi, a rabbanim patrilu, zair shamitan of Kule. The ha yashalomer came. Shari wumatsina bashum mokum betura shechai viniske abdo.
Okay, that's an important line. Again, this is a, as we've seen already. This, you know, we talked about, you know, recently. You know, his view that, you know, hanas, shein, and matsui and regel aren't really that; they're really lack of kavanos alahazik. There are a lot of very. You know, we saw his view on Karen Mechubar. This perush, we'll see more as we go along, has some very mechudash. Ha'aros and points. So here he's making just a good methodological point. Like Hechem Atzinu in the Torah, you know, there are parshios and mishpatim about sure. So the absence, again, it's an interesting methodological diuk, right, of Eved and Amo seem to point to the fact that Minat Torah doesn't exist. At the same time, he doesn't want to turn his back on, I guess, the simple reading. So what is it?
It says,
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to bring out from that. So according to the, again, if you're one of those people, you know, who keeps a list of siyagim d'oraisa, so, you know, you can put this one on the list. So according to Talmud or Beinu Tam, this is a din d'oraisa, but based on, I don't know if it's a siyag is the right word, but kind of like a siyag. But Tama Rabba Ika, it's really against the grain of Hilchos, of the Mechayev of Mazik. In that sense, it's extraneous, but it's still Doraisa. Yeah, yeah.
So the more you view this halacha as extraneous, and the fact that really, for some fundamental reason, maybe the master should be Chayev.
Yeah.
And the hated case becomes the fear of the Eved to pay when he's actually Mazik. Meaning, Inokinami, the other would be plunder for the reason of Shemayaki Tenu. But then, how is the slave now obligated to pay that?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, you know, Pigiasan Ra, when he's Meshukhar.
Well, even that's only by Chavalam. The Rambam also only quoted by Ketel.
Right.
It would also be true in case of Stam Nazigit, but where is that Chiyu going to be coming from?
Again, because the point is that every Eved. Right, is also has mixas Kedushas Yisrael, right? So there's always like a dialectic going on in Eved. And the question of, I think a question is a good question, and the implicit in your question is the idea that, on the other hand, if you take the more fundamental view, you totally understand this, because the reason that the Aron isn't Chayiv is because he's Chayiv.
Correct, because he's Chayiv.
No, so I like that, and I think that is true.
Yeah, the more extreme is you, the harder.
But I don't think that you have to necessarily, exclude that perspective, you know, even if you take the extraneous view. In other words, I could have said, he's Chayiv, you know, because he has Mixas Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore he's a Bar Hochi, and he should be paying. He also doesn't have a bank account. So there are two people who are chayiv here. And the Adon, who has a bank account, right, is... Now, no one ever said... In other words, in the case of Ashur, it's easy to say, well, he's mindless, and, you know, he's just a tool. So he's a, you know, he's a runaway tool, you know. But in the end of the day, no one ever said... That, you know, both of these things can't apply at the same time.
Well, yeah, I mean, so in that Havamina is, let's say in that Havamina, when the master is also having the Adam's time and the Adam can't pay, would you really say the Chiyuv's now on the Eved? I mean, when he's Nishtafra?
Yeah, I think so.
Then that Havamina, there would also be a Chiyuv on that Eved.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, I like the implicit assumption of Kuk. I think you're totally right about the other side of it.
Yeah.
Meaning it's clear that he should be Chayiv, and the only reason that he's not paying is because he doesn't have a bank account.
Correct.
That part is absolutely true if you hold this is a fundamental,
yeah,
you know, halacha. I just don't think that they are it's mutually exclusive to say that the Adon is Chayiv Bitoras being the bank account and Mamono, you know, Hizik on some level, which we'll get to in just a second. Both things which we said already, but which we'll further illustrate in a second. And at the same time, that the, that the Eved himself, you know, who is a bardas,
is
I don't know just as much, but is also chayiv. So then it ends up being like, you know, like lishtalun mehai, mishtalmin mehai, you know, kind of a thing, or nasan kind of a thing, which, as I already indicated earlier in the year, and we'll get to it again and again, like shutfim sheziku, you know, that whole question of having more than one source, whether it's internal or external, like, you know, two Karens, two Shanes, two Boars, two Ashes, or an Ash and a Boar, or an Adam and a Karen, you know, that whole question of when you, like, what does that even mean when you have, I think it depends very much on the Mechayvim question. But here we're talking about, let's say, two, you know, Karen, or whatever, two of the same, you know, in a way. Or maybe not, maybe it's considered, he's Adam HaMazik, and he's, you know, Nizke Mum. But I think it's a great point, and I think that there's absolutely no reason, lahalacha, once you think about it, you know, to negate his own personal responsibility, necessarily. Okay, so that is, and then we talked about the question of, you know, Maisa Shogeg, and the problem of Harama. Again, if you take the more fundamental approach, what I think is the Rambam's approach, then you're not going to have that issue. And the Nota Behuda's case, right? And there'll be new and cases where you could prevent him because he is very docile, or you just happen to be there and you could prevent him. But if these are like anus and they're extraneous, so then there's policy questions of lo plug to consider. But otherwise, basically, you're okay. And then we talked also about the question of Isha and Akinan, based on the language again of Rashi and and the Tashbetz and Tosas and Bab Metzia and the Gilyonei Ashas. What about Isha? Because again, there's no, you know, Kinyan Aguf on Isha, but there is bank account connection. So it becomes, you know, interesting in that point of view. And the whole Isha question also raises another question, and that is, you know, would you be mechalek between different tchumim? What about halva? Right? A person making halvos who's under your financial or is linked to your financial responsibility. What's your responsibility for that person's halvos? That's a sugin b'metzia, the tosin b'metzia. What about the difference between chavala and niske mamon, frankly? Right? Or geneva chavala and niske mamon. So the geneva question is, you know, particularly acute for the Rambam. And that's where Reb Chaim comes into play. Reb Chaim was basically saying it wouldn't have been Geneva unless Geneva was Mazik. But another part of that question, by the way, is the Kabbalah question. Right? Because Rashi here is quoting from the Mishnah in Achovel about Pekia Sanra. Right? Tosus doesn't like that Rashi's doing that because Tosus points out, you know, it's the Mishnah in Yadayim that we're talking about, but not the Mishnah in Achovel. Right? But, and therefore he says it has nothing to do with Isha. Right? Rashi's extending it to Isha. So Rashi is a double significance. Right? It's the extension to Isha and the extension to Kabbalah. You could reject that whole extension to Kabbalah. And the truth is, even whatever you say about Geneva, right? So are you automatically going to say the same thing by Kabbalah? Just, you know, just like Hava is questionable. Even within this Niskei Mamon, are you necessarily always going to say the same thing? Let's say your Ebed went out and he, you know, didn't do Adam HaMazik. Let's say he did H, or he built a Boar. Right? In theory, that, what am I getting at? What we were talking about in the beginning of the year, and so on. Namely, again, and especially in light of Reb Chaim, right? The more we're talking about quid pro quo, you know, being Mitsura for connected to the Nezek in a financial way, the easier it is to think about this, you know, about this question about Isha, you know, or maybe, you know, if not Isha, at least Eved V'Ama, you know, the more we're thinking in terms of a very particular Mechayiv of a Maisa Avera that person, that other person, the Isha did, the Katan did, the Eved did, the Ama did, but that's what Reb Chaim is basically saying. Right, from a Geneva point of view, we don't even need this halakha. You could say the same thing about Kabbalah. Right? We spent a lot of time trying to explain that, there's a relationship between Gozel and Chovel, between Mazik and Chovel. Again, for the Rambam, there's a strong relationship and a dialectical one. We spent a lot of time on that too. And I was trying to show that, you know, the Rambam put Adam Mazik and Ilchus Kovel, and that has a double consequence. It elevated Mazik, right? And it also, you know, keeps showing the, you know, the gap that still remains between Mazik and Chovel. Right? That was part of our, again, P'kiyasan Ra, you know, is there a difference between Adma Mazik, Niske Mamon, and Chovel, you know, or Gone, when it comes to, you know, Katan Shen is Gadel, for example. So the application here to Chavalah, because Rashi connects it to P'kiyasan Ra, is that not at all obvious. Again, the more it's about bank accounts, maybe. But so you have, on the one hand, the Isha question. That's one expansion. On the other hand, you have the question, within Niske Mamon, which Niske Mamons? And what about Geneva and Chabala and Halva'a and so on? So these are all very critical questions. I want to add 2 points. One is the Ravan that Natan brought to my attention. There are 2 Ravans, and they provide us exactly with the perspectives that we were talking about. So one is the Ravan in Bava Kamma, and interestingly enough, again, in the Sugya, not here, but in the Sugya of P'kiyasan Ra, right, on the Sugya later on Pezayin Amud Aleph, right, that's a Simin Tuf Nun, right, number 450 in the Ravan. So the Ravan, like the Meiri, but earlier than the Meiri, stakes out the position that this whole din is a din d'rabana, and it's a takana. But the formulation is very clear, and that is that the mechayev would have been, what would the mechayev have been, or what is the din d'oraisa, that you are chayev to pay for avdo v'amaso, and it would seem by extension for ishto also, by the way, since he can connect this all to P'kiyasan Ra, on the basis of Mamono Shehizik. Do you have the line?
Yeah, he says no for Ishtah.
What?
He's Mechalik.
Yeah, the afterwards is Mechalik, but go ahead. Except the Drabana, but yeah.
Yeah, Mamono Shehizik. Elo Shomer Pachomim Shem Yakitan Rabu, Yilith Yad, the Gedisha Shaparu, the Nimsa Mechalik Rabu, Neman of Hoyam.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to bring out. That unlike Rashi, who by quoting the sugya there extends it to Isha, Ravan has it there, so he has the Chavala part, but then he himself draws the line because of Mamono, right, between Eved V'Yama and Isha. Except on a Drabanan level, he says, because of Maso Matan, right, that whole... but that's certainly the Drabban. Okay, so that's an important perspective. And his formulation of Mamono Shehizik is very, very important. However, the Drabban speaks about this again in Bab Metzia. The fellow in the footnote there actually pointed it out. On Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, right, that Simin Tav Samech. Is that right? Yeah? Or did I get that wrong? 460? No? Do you have it?
I don't have a
siman. Oh, Sataf Samach?
I know, I just don't know. I don't have a siman.
Oh, you don't have simanim in the Ravan?
No.
On the computer?
No, we're in the book.
It's the holes in
the set. Oh, so you have Bamat Siyat Sadi Zayin on the base?
I have the piece, yeah.
What?
Yes.
Save a Chaval? We don't have it there?
I have the piece up. It just doesn't say the Simmons.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Who cares?
Over loud, it would say Ugono, Chai Ha'ogu.
Say Ugono, right?
Yeah.
The guy tells his Evid to go steal.
Then Omer loud, it would say the Chaval, the Puni, Chai Ha'ogu. Abba Chaval, Ugono, Shalomi Dasar Abba, Potter Adono, the woman Hadin, the Ad Evid, Ki Arabo.
Oh. So there, the Ravan, right, formulates this din in a very different way. And I saw the guy in the footnotes actually noticed it. You saw that also? Oh, you didn't see the guy in the footnotes. You know, the new Ravan that they put out.
Not the black one.
Not the black one is the new one. Not the old one where, you know, that the again, that the Ravan himself, you know, penned. The, what is it, Dublinsky or whatever it is? The editor, he did a good job. Okay. So, again, he took all the fun out of it, but he did a good job. Yeah, so he noted this also. And that is, so what's different about this one? The Yad Ebed Ki Adrab. So here you have the other formulation. And that is, you're not chayiv only because shorcha hizik. Like avdecha, which is mamoncha hizik. That's one formulation. Now you're chayiv because maisa yad eved kiyad rabo, meaning it's as if, you know, you're mitzuraf to the maisa hezek. The effect is the same. The mechanism is very different. This is more like the way the Gilyoni Ashas that I had the other day, you know, like he was trying to say it. Here. Ulam homodoraisapat. No, he was trying to explain why. That would mean that it shouldn't work with a Torah, but he was explaining. Right. Vira Kavoda, the Chiv Adam on this, he was saying this about Niske Shoro, who rak mishum b'maisa mamono miucheseslo v'me uke'ilu hizik biyado. Right. And that's why he thinks this doesn't work. So, to say that Eved V'ama is Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo, as opposed to simply saying that it's Mamono, is a major idea. Then the Gilyoni Ashas goes on to try to explain why. Here, I'll just read a couple lines. Hari Nasan Get Biyad Avda Yashen Umeshamrasa Megureshes Dechashav Chatzera V'Chatzera Mitam Yada Yisrabai. You have to shore a mazik uchatzar mala. Again, this is where it gets a little exotic and not to my taste, but I think it's fascinating. After shore a mazik uchatzar mahalaches, mikomokom le'inyan chiyuv nizakin, gil satora degam b'mahalech nechshav kiyado. Again, I think it's a little exotic here, but what I'm interested in is what's he trying to explain? The maisa behema is kemaisa bailim, nechshav kiyado. Well, korcha kemoshe. Omrah Rishonim Parakabatakushan Sugadain Kinyan Eved Belo Rabo, the Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo, that part he has. Amina Rakhlis Kus of Alola Kov. Again, Gilyon HaShas is coming from the opposite angle. It's a parallel law. He's trying to explain why fundamentally, not just extraneously, this doesn't work. Say, you can't, of course, we know this halacha, but it's the same thing. In other words, we know this halacha that sometimes you do things by remote control. And it's considered to be your action. Right? Not just that you didn't do it, but you're accountable for it. But that's only Litzkos, not Lechova. Or that's only, you know, this he's saying even about the shore. You could just say, you know, the. All right. Anyways, you get the idea. Then Kinaleva Blur, the Yad Eved Kiyad, be supporting the same things. Rak Litzkos, Avlo Lechova. Hey, Nachanami, Yad Shoro, the Abdo. The kiyado who rakles chus amlo lechov, valkein b'shor, the mashu mischayv on niskav ein zechov, shari biyado l'shamro. Ah, again, this is the exotic parts. Shelo yazik, that's not called a chov. They're from mechuyev hu bazel lahashgiach shelo yuzaku acherim al yedeshor. Wants to say that when there's a chi of shmira and the animal goes out and damages, since you could have prevented it, so that's not considered chov. I mean, it isn't hilchoschia, but. It's therefore it's not schuso, obviously, but it's not a chov. Therefore, yado yad hashor ki yad abaylim applies. That's not mamono hizik, right? Lechein shapiru chayiv mashen kein avdo dehu bardas v'efshelo l'shomro mehezek v'miskaven v'miak nitenu yichayiv v'me'amana nimsa shim yischayiv rabo benazaka variyaz echov l'rabo ulechov rei ein yado ki yad rabo lechein pater. Instead of just saying. He's a bardas, so the tziruf is mufka, end of story, right? And in shore, he's not a bardas, and maybe that's what I would have said. I'm a simpler guy. Odeh Shlomar, also along this line, hatam, the kivin the adam, who bardas, and midaita hu shemazik, lechein kol hezek rak eladas, hu shemisyaches, v'deya ra mazekes, v'das ha'evet pashut, de'ena knuyil adam klal, like this. Also an exotic idea, but a fascinating one. right? Namely, when does a person's intent attach to his actions, or his actions are defined by his intent? And when is intent and action, you know, two different, you know, components? So, like, this is like a machshava ra, you know, machshava tova kind of a thing. So when you're a bar das, then your actions and your intentions, you know, integrate. So then you're the one who's doing the action, right? But lo shayach kinim bazeh rak v'gufo ha'eved hu konui lo. Avelo daito, you don't own the eved's, like, it's a very forward-looking idea, right? You don't own the eved, you own the eved's pu'ula, but you don't own the eved's das, right? Mashen kin l'shor. Val korchel shaper ha'odom potter shayamazik dover she'ena shalo klal. I mean, the real mazik is the das. He doesn't own the das. So it's not mamono or biyado. Ulam loshana gamar lamash mahachi, okay. Vayinod b'Yerushalmi, so and so. Anyway, the phenomenon, I think the ideas are also very interesting. But, the you know, even if you don't want to get into that, the phenomenon is that Rabbi Yosef Engel is suggesting that this all is an issue of when we consider to be Maisa Shora Maisa Yadcha, or an extension of Maisa Yadcha. And basically what we're seeing in the Ravan is that there really are two different formulations of this idea. But that's great, because, you know, this whole question is an undercurrent in everything that we're doing anyway. Right. Okay, yeah.
Maybe I misread the Ravan, but isn't he saying that the reason why you're putter for Niskayavda is not because of the Yad Ravan?
He's saying fundamentally you would be Chayav.
I thought he was saying that
it's a dindra. Your reason you're putter is shemiyak nitender.
That is the reason why you're putter, but he's saying don't think that that din of yad evet kat rabo.
It's the wrong girsa.
Is
yeah. They changed the girsa. The girsa on the barilan is incorrect.
Oh, I saw it again. I only saw
it
in the
it,
make that in the black ones, as you call
yeah.
it. What I call the new ones.
What is the girsa? I mean, this reads very well, because the beginning of the paragraph says yad evet kat rabo is a din only when he's acting bedas rabo.
Who? This is what the.
The beginning of the paragraph of that
Ravon,
and then he says, when he's acting
Shlomo,
that Ravon, so you're
punched
for
I don't know. Read it the way I should have brought it in, but. Oh, not saying the Loman Hadar.
So they change it to
Loman Hadin
and the Yad Eved Kiyad.
Yeah, but Loman, I have in my text also, Loman Hadin. The Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo. El Takonis Chachamim.
No,
Vlomen Adin, comma. That's why I have it in the book. It's Vlomen Adin, comma. I don't know if you can change it. Yad Eved, Yad Rabo. Therefore, he should really be Chayv Min Adin.
Yad Eved, Yad Rabo only applies when it's Midas Rabo.
No. No. He's saying. No. In the continuation, he goes back to that.
There's no halakha of Yad Eved, Yad Rabo when he's acting Shlokadam. That's never
right, but the question is that true fundamentally, or is that because of Shemi Yakni Ten?
Or it's not considered Shemi Yakni Ten, that's the first thing he said in the paragraph.
No. He says there's a difference between following Das Bailim and not following Das Bailim.
Right.
And if you don't follow Das Bailim, there's no accountability. The Bailim are not accountable.
Oh, yeah.
Period. Fact. That's a fact. Right? Then he says, don't think that this distinction is a fundamental distinction, because Yad Rabo is Yad Eved is Kiyad Rabo. So really, fundamentally, even when it's Shalokadas, the Rabo should have been Chayev. However, this distinction issues from Shaloyak Nitan. That's how the Ravon, again, I didn't see the Bar Ilan piece, but that's how the one, the new printed Ravon's read. So he's saying, this is the facts. We distinguish between him following and being contrary to Das Bailim. You could have thought that this is a fundamental distinction. It's not, because Yad Eved is Kiyad Rabo. Therefore, fundamentally, it shouldn't matter.
I thought he was saying that Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo, you would have thought that
You think he's saying Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo only applies when he's listening to the Rabo.
Right. And then
I'm saying that's not how it reads in the.
But still, that's not sufficient to potter you.
No, I understand. I'm saying that's not what it says. Again, I don't know the Ksav Yad situation. You know, we could you know, get our people in Hebrew University to, you know, check into it. But that's how, certainly also the guy in the bottom, the person who wrote the foot, the Zablitsky.
Well, he's
the
also, so he's can't try.
Yeah, he's a Nogueva Dover, I understand. Yeah. But he also, just
Imre,
note.
The Imre Bina also made the same Nogueva.
I think he quotes the Imre Bina.
Yeah,
yeah. Where do you get to the Imre Bina from the footnote?
No, the footnote.
Yeah, yeah. The footnote guy quotes the Imre Bina as well. Okay, anyways. What's that?
I wrote the Imre Bina also.
Or he wrote the Haggos. Okay, so one other horror that, and this is connected to Josh a little bit also. Yeah?
I just think before that, the Ravon is probably getting what he's saying from the Gemara above and see the Imre Bina, which puts the case. There's a Havamina based on how, obviously, how God works.
Right,
sorry, what is it?
Shifat
Shumyad. Right. If he's not a bar das, so then the shifat should still work. So it says, therefore, the case is, that's true. That same case is, so for the same reason that Mishaleach, i.e., the Rabbo should be chayiv.
I mean, these are issues. I just don't want to get into that right now because I don't want to get attention to the Chodvar Aveira, which is also what this is connected to. It's not the same thing, but I mean, we have it's a similar, it's a parallel phrase that one could demonstrate, you know, is understood. I don't want to get attention to the Chodvar Aveira right now, but we could talk about it another time. But Yesh makom lechalek, obviously, between them, but it could be that it's connected to that that question. But what I really want to get out of it is that the Ravon himself, you know, in formulating his view, which is that this is a dindur rabbanon and extraneous, unlike the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam that it's a dindur doraisa but extraneous, unlike the Rambam and others who I think that it's a dindur doraisa and it's fundamental. Himself is touching on the two formulations that we're interested in, namely, mamono hizik. What would it have been, mamono hizik, and therefore he's chayiv, or mamono hizik, you know, and therefore it's ki'ilu hu hizik, you know, in some sense. And then, of course, we already talked about the Rambam's use of das and choser, bar das and choser shmira in the Chuskaneva, and how that connects with Perak Aleph Hilchos Nizkei Mamon Halacha Aleph, the way I understood it, and Ariel brought to our attention the way, I guess, Evan Ha'azel understood it slightly differently. So one other ha'ara, and that is regarding the Mishnah in Yadai. So 2 points. Number one, something that Josh brought to my attention, which is totally correct, and that is, I see it's very meduyak in the people who put out this Gemara. Is that right, Josh? What the Girsa point, which is
The
Shema, the word Shema. So if you look at the little Aleph here of the Mesoros Hashas, right? It quotes a Mishnah in Yadayim. Notice they put it on the word Yaknitenu, right? One would have thought that they would have put it on the word. Where's Joey? Right? Don't we make diukim all the time in Mesoros Hashas? Right? Right? Okay. What other sugya do we do that in? Dun mino bruka biatra? Okay. Anyways. Right? So again, they did a good job because the word Shema doesn't appear there. What appears there, Josh?
She'im.
Oh. But I just wanted to add just one other point, and that, of course, is, again, the Bali Tosis already make the point that this is what he taught. Why is Rashi quoting, P'kiyasan Ra? It's a mission on Yadayim. Right? Okay. That we already talked about. That's very significant. What would Isha have been? And then we have the Ravon. We had the Tashbates and again, Rabbi Yosef Engel's Kinyan Periske Kinyan Aguf idea. Very important. But just one other point, aside from the, number one, it's Im. Im seems Shema. You know, I don't think it's Mukhrach one way or another, but Shema works much better with the Meiri, even with the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, with what I was suggesting in Rashi, She'im. Shema means She'im, in a way, right? I'm sorry. Shema means whatever. But you're actually worried about it. Whereas She'im works better. Again, both could be, but She'im works better as a as an indicator. But there's something more in the Mishnah Yadayim that we didn't talk about yet. What's the context of the Mishnah Yadayim? Tzvi, saw it? What?
I did see it.
You did?
Yeah.
So what impression did it make on you? What's the why is it in Yadayim of all places? That's the first thing you wonder about, right? You have this Mishnah. Like, it's such an important halacha, you know, practically, conceptually, you know, it's like a linchpin for many things. Right? What's it doing in Yadayim of all places? It can't blame Rashi for saying, look later, and just, you know, take the same book, you know, just open up 83 pages and, you know, Pekiya Sanra. What's it doing in Yadayim?
It's like sort of aga, the earlier part of the Mishnah.
Which is
involving Tara, and like water
Nitzok.
Flowing from the mikvah or something.
Yeah, correct. Nitzok, the flow. Great stuff. Right. When you're alone mikvahs. Kacharos. Or ohalos. Without kachala for the whole year. Yeah. Right. So what's it got to... So why am I mentioning this? Just because it's exciting?
I mean, it's...
Beyond Tahorin. What? Okay, good. Because it's the Prushim Tzedukim thing, that's fine, okay. But there's what's the mashal here? There's something to say about it. I don't want to take too long on it either. What did the Tzedukim say to the Purushim? Koblin Anu, right, that's where Divrei Kavala came from. Remember we said Divrei Kavala means criticism, tochacha, right? Kovlim Anu Alecha. No, I'm sorry. Where am I here? I'm the wrong Mishnah. Okay. Second last Mishnah, right, in Yadayim. How does it go? Yeah. Kov Omrim Tzedukim. Kovlin Anu Alechem Purushim. Right. Maim Shori V'chamori. She'eni Chayiv Bahem Mitzvos. Hireni Chayiv Bin Nizkan. Avdi V'amasi She'eni Chayiv Bahem Mitzvos. Whoa. Enodin Shehei Chayev Benizkan. Omalahem, lo amamartem b'shori v'chamori shein bem das, tomer be'eved u'ba'ama sheyesh bem das, she'im aknitenu yelech v'yad l'gedisha shalacher, v'hei chayev l'shalim. So number one, it's she'im. That was Josh's correct ta'ara. Right? And there does, again, it's not buchrach, but if we had to choose she'im and shema, certainly we would go in the way that we said, that's fine. Number two, the Mishnah adds what the Gemara doesn't quote. Right? The Gemara just quotes Shema Yaknitenu. Right? With the Shema. And what the Mishnah adds is She'ein Bahem Das. That's critical. Right? Again, you can think that's just the background, you know, for Shema Yaknitenu. It doesn't mean anything. Which is the way certainly many of the Rishonim explain it, or many of the Farshim explain it. But we know that the Rambam quotes it prominently in Ochus Gneva. The Rambam now we know also added something, right, which doesn't appear either in the Gemara or in the Mishnah, namely that then translates into the inability to do Shmira. That was the Rambam's Chiddush. Always important to figure out what did the Rambam add. The order, once you say in the end of the day, no, he just, you know, he's a good writer. But at least you have to know, right? You have to identify. Rambam added the Bardas from the Mishnah, but he added the middle Mitzaref, and I think that's why he did it. Okay. But to me, something else is intriguing, at least in the Havamina, this connection to mitzvos. Why is that interesting, Alex?
I think Joey pointed out that if you say it's based on the Isser and the Chiyah, then you'd be inclined to say that the Chiyah Tashlumin is based on the fact that I have... that I'm responsible for their mitzvos.
Yeah, this question of connection to the mitzvos is just astonishing. First of all, it's in its own right, it's interesting, because, again, this is something we talked about last year, right, about Eved, you know, Kanani and so on, and that is that the more you think, like, you know, Lala Meisha, right, you know, Eved Kanani's Pater Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, right, but he's Chayiv Mitzvos. Well, and there's a massive debate, which we're certainly not going to join right now, but we did speak about it quite a bit last year. Right? How much Kedushas Yisrael, you know, does the Eved and Ama have? Right? Full Kedushas Yisrael? Except that, they need it to complete their Geirus, or maybe they have complete Geirus, in other words, but there's a Shem Eved. Like, what is it exactly? Or no? Really Mitzvahs Kedushas Yisrael. I mentioned then that the Rav was very adamant always that, you know, the comparison of Mitzvahs Eishes Man Grama between Eved and Isha is misleading. And he always thought, it's against Tosfos Gittin what he said, this particular application. Tosfos Gittin of Mem and Aleph says that just like Nashim will make a bracha on Mitzvahs Eishes Man Grama because it's a kiyum. That part Tosfos doesn't say, but they'll make a bracha on Mitzvahs Eishes Man Grama probably because it's a kiyum, even if it isn't a chiyuv, hu adin, legabe eved. I think one of there talks about shichrur, eved. The guy said, oh, I'm going to give you a nice pair of tefillin, tebi. He gave him a hug, and he gave him a pair of tefillin. So, oh, shachrur him. So then Tosfos says, whoa, what do you shachrur him? You can put on tefillin and make the bracha, mitzvahs man grama, it's like nashe. That's a question. Anyways, but the hug part I made up. It's a Hanukkah bit. Anyways, I'm still influenced by that music that was going on. Anyways, the more you think, this is a question. So if you think that basically Eved Kenani is, more like Isha, that it really is Kedushas Yisrael, or even if it's less than Isha, it's not Isha, but there's basically the Chiyuv Mitzvahs is part of whatever Chiyuv Mitzvahs he has is his Chiyuv for whatever level of Kedushas Yisrael he has. So frankly, where this Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Right, the Tzedukin got it completely wrong. Because what does it have to do with the Bailin? With the Odom? It sounds like what the Tzedukin were saying, again, they could be completely wrong, don't get me wrong. But at least understanding the argument, it sounds like what they're saying was, right, that the Chiyuv, it's almost like Shvisas Behemto, and some views of, which I alluded to actually the other night, Shvisas Katan, as well, which are a reflection on, or the responsibility of, those are two different things, but they're, for our purposes now, overlapping in the same, on the Bailin. That's my obligation when it comes to Shvisas Katan on Shabbos. It's not his obligation or to impose his obligation, right? It's also, certainly that's the case of Shvisas Behemto. Behemos Yisrael doesn't have a chi of, Shmira Shabbos, right? But it's a lack of Shmira Shabbos on my part if my Behema, and maybe even my family members, even the Ketanim, are not behaving properly, in terms of the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, that aspect of Shabbos. So the Tzedukim were saying to the Perushim, listen, the Eved, right, is a reflection of the Adon in mitzvos. Does he's meaning what? Yado ki yado and his meisim are mitzurah? It's like remote control? Or maybe not ad kedekach, but at minimum, right, what he does on a secondary level is mitzura, if it's connected to you. It's your responsibility. Right? So either it's your action, it's a kind of like extended, diluted action, or maybe not ad kedei kach, but at least you have the obligation to so hu adin bin nezaken. That's a perspective on pashtus, Eved Kenani chiyuv mitzvah, has nothing to do with the adon at all. Right? Actually, the Rush at least tries to mitigate it a little bit. Rush here says, again. No, it's the wrong one. Okay, the Rush, yeah, sorry. Not the Rush, the Rush. The Rush, I don't think the Rush says anything. Shani chayim bahem, lahadrichon shi kaimu ha-mitzvos. Okay, so he doesn't think that he may mean the same thing too. Whatever. Okay, the point I'm trying to make is that what the Tzedukim were saying was there's a tziruf to the Bible. It's not just that, you know, the pashtus. Because again, the Rush is mitigating it, but the language of the Mishnah is, the language of the Tzedukim is, what they do reflects on and is an extension of you. So if Huadin Legabe Nezikin, that's a perspective. Again, what did the Perushim answer? You're right, but Tama Rabba Ika? Right, according to many Rishonim? Or, you know, you're totally wrong, and you may be wrong, you're probably, you know, either the mitzvahs part you're right about, but that has nothing to do with the Nezikin part. Right? Or you're wrong about the Nezikin and you're wrong about the mitzvahs, meaning this part of the Eved and Amo's life is their maisim. It's not mitzuraf at all. Not on a mamon ka'asu, and certainly not on a, you know, masehem kemaisa bailu. Yeah.
So everything that the Rambam in Pirush and Shnai is actually is the Shittas of Ibn Mishatora. He seems to invoke the Pasuk as if it's a raya, like, kind of like the time you went down. If you already know that Abad Mithatim or Pigasim Ra,
yeah.
He says, but when your property damages are in the Fush Mithatora, you're not sure, right? The other ish. So if it was a time of Rabbi Ika, quoting the Pasuk is not going to necessarily help you explain why it's Pater.
It sounds like it's certain. I mean, again, I thought the Rambam in Pirush and Shnai, at least you tossed it out, it's a different price.
Yeah, it's a fundamental.
But I think based on Nichols Geneva that the Rambam holds, that it's Torah's on its fundamental.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it works in. I wouldn't have said it only on the basis of Pirush Mishnayos, because then you could still say with Talmud Rabbeinu Tam.
How would you?
No, I'm saying Talmud Rabbeinu Tam also thinks it's Torah's.
Right, right.
He just thinks it's Torah's because of the Tamar Rabba. Not that the Tamar Rabba is an indication that there's no tziruf.
Right.
Whereas the Rambam, I think, in Nichols Geneva, especially by adding the Chosu Shmira part and so on,
right.
Is saying
in terms of the structure, where he's saying that this has a pasuk and this
yeah,
is not.
Yeah, yeah, that part, yes, 100%. Okay, so that is, there's more to talk about, but that, okay, now let's talk about Bor. And then maybe on Sunday, no share. Monday, maybe I'll give you some Makobos about Adam, so we can move on to that as well. Okay, so let's talk about Bor. Ellie, you want to just read for us a little bit? Where are we? Back on Gimel. Yeah. Okay, so that we'll top on for a second, then we'll get back. Okay, so what do we have? Easy Gemara, typical Gemara, what do you think?
Quite difficult.
Why?
Because they seem to be, like, at each stage, there's, like, a very different assumption that seems to be going on in terms of the relationship between Or Ten or Yud, and what's an Av, and what's a Tolda, and why both would be considered Av.
100%. Exactly correct. Right, it's hard to know even what's going on here, but something's going on, right? It's just hard to know whether what's going on is all about, you know, Bor, and the relationship between Bor Lamazik and Bor Lamisa, or what's also going on is something, you know, a more meta kind of a question, right? And that is about the relationship between Toldos and Avos as opposed to two Avos, what we mean by two Avos, etc. Correct? Very hard to pin down. Probably both things are going on at the same time, and that makes it even harder to figure out. Oh. So in terms of, you know, talking about, you know, the idea of two avos, because the Gemara seems to conclude there are two avos, correct? There's an av lebor, which is a katala, and there's a bor, which is mat. Again, we're not going to, let's talk generally today, and then we'll fill in the specifics, I guess, on Sunday quickly. But lahalacha, do we find that there are two avos of bor? What?
Seems to be. At least, like, Yerushalmi Le'inyan of Torah Kehilah.
Oh, excellent. So we're going to discuss that. Dabli doesn't hold that way, though, right? Pashtas. But Eli's 100% correct. Right? The Yerushalmi is Medayek on, right, you know, Ki Yiftach Ishbar, Ki Yichre Bar, right? Or two psukim. And makes the suggestion that the two psukim are two boros, one a killer boar and a mazik boar, and that the nafka between them is that a killer boar, right, is chai bekelim, right? I'm sorry, the other way, that a killer boar, you're putter for, I'm sorry, killer boar is what? What's the name of killer boar? You put them in kelim, and nezek and a mad, just like your marbe the chiyuvim in the mazik bor, right? So you also don't have the ptur. Okay, that's not what the Babli holds, right? I'll have to see if there are any echoes in the Babli. Now, so the pashtas, it sounds like there are two bors. Okay, that's a new shot. Good. In the Mishnah, it doesn't sound like there are two bors. In the Rambam, does it sound like there are two bors? Talks about them differently, but does he present them as two avos? No. Okay. So, just to take a step back for a moment, what do we mean when we ever speak about multiple boars? I mean, multiple avos. Or do we have the phenomenon of multiple avos anywhere else? Have we encountered?
We saw
in the Zikin, I mean. Or let's say out of the Zikin. Oh, I mean, but in the same way, meaning multiple avos within the same category. And as we know that there are multiple avos Shabbos, of Hilchos Shabbos, 39. within Hilchos Shabbos, are there multiple avos within the same category?
Yeah, so
according to
Rashi and Rambam.
Oh, so it's always just helpful to build a bit of a framework. Again, you also have to be careful that you're not too influenced by it, but as part of the analysis, at least, right, you want to have all the facts in front of you. So it is helpful to know that in the world of Hilchos Shabbos, there's a debate whether or not there's something called multiple avos, you know, within a single category. And we've seen this already, that the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Shkagos and in Pirush Mishnayos is of the opinion that the phrase, melachas harbe me'ein melacha achas, right, has a meaning of multiple avos. Rashi holds that way as well. Whereas the Bali Tosis, I think we noted already, and other Rishonim, think that that's just a way of saying tolda. Correct? Okay, so that's an interesting paradigm. In Hilchos Shabbos, let's just examining the paradigm a little more. I mean, is there any chalos to there being a me'ein oso ha'av in the same? Right, because once you have that phenomenon, I guess there are still two ways. Now, you can deny it completely. You can say this. The av means the one spoken of in the pasuk, or the av means, you know, that one, that best, or again, for whatever reason, you know, where it's all epistemological, you know, it starts from that one, you know, we reconstruct from there, whatever it is, right? So what do we mean when we talk about there being more than one av within the same category? So we could still end up, basically, you know, saying one of two opposite things. Right? One is that we mean it seriously. Right? There's like an offshoot. There are two avos within the same category. And they're different chaloses, which means that there should be even nafkaminas, perhaps. Or is it just a way of saying, number one, that avos and toldos are different. There's a difference in the chalos of them, maybe in the stature of them. Right? And what we mean when we say that something else is me'ein ha'av or is an av is that unlike the tolda, right? There's no step down. This is an equal parallel. That doesn't mean, it's a way of saying there's more than one surah, let's call it, right, that is on the same level, even if the toldos are on a lower level. But we don't necessarily mean by that that there's a difference between these two tsuros within this av itself. Right. So then, ironically, saying that there are two avos, right, ends up being, from a diversity, you know, point of view, in terms of the richness of the, you know, of the cases or classification, saying the two things are an av is more like saying that they're you know, they're less different, you know, than an av and a tol. Whereas the first way, saying that, you know, there's two avos, and they're different from each other, you know, as well as being, you know, a higher level than the tolda, is a way of saying that they are more distinctive from each other. Correct? So in Hilchos Shabbos, again, I don't want to re-prosecute the Hilchos Shabbos issue, but I do want to draw upon it for 5 seconds, 2 minutes, right? Just to demonstrate what we're talking about. Because it's fair, I mean, it would be fair anyway, but when the Gemara says, oh, tolda say kiyosu v'lav kiyotz v'hem, ooh, let's look at Shabbos, let's look at Taro, that's what the Gemara is doing. Right, so when we encounter a Gemara that says, oh, there are two avos, it's two avos, it's not an av and a tolda, right? We're doing the same thing. We're saying, do we have that phenomenon? And what does it mean? Right? By the way, we'll get to Tumah in just a second. But as we know, in Tumah, we may also have that. Correct? But it's easier to talk about Shabbos. We'll just get to it in a second. So, for example, you know, take Zoreya and Noteya, right? Usually they're a great example of, you know, what Me'ena Av is. And let's say that Zomer and Mashke, right, certainly Zomer, maybe even Mashke, are toldos, correct? So there are some Rishonim who will say to you that, I think have both views. There are some Rishonim who will say that the Me'ena Avs are just a way of saying they're not toldos. Maybe that's a pshat in Rashi. Right? Especially if you want to put Rashi and Bava Kamma together with Rashi and Shabbos, Samaches, and say that, you know, we talk about, oh, you're doing a Zoreya v'Zoreya. That's why an Avana tolda d'day, you know, the Helamechad is, you know, it's not Chayiv Shtam. Because you're doing Zoreya v'Zoreya. I'm sorry. That's why Me'ein Ha'av, you know, you're not Chayiv Shtam. But when it comes to Avana tolda, Rashi's saying, because you're high for the ikar and you're potter for the tafek, right? So if you put that all together, what you might want to say for Rashi, not Mochrach, but if you look at the Rashis, is that Zoreya and Noteya are not really different from each other. They're just equal tsuros, right, of that category, or maybe the Vashel and Ofeb, you know, based on the fact, as we discussed, you know, that the Mishnah speaks about Sidur de Pas, right? The Mishkan, you know, didn't. So Ofez in the Mishnah, even though Bishol was in the Mishkan, maybe that gives Bishol and Ofa, like, you know, an equal, but equal different. Like, would it occur to us to think that makes them more different from each other, or that there are other nafkamina? No, meaning of equal tzura stature, right? They vie for or share, if that's possible. You have to ask philosophers this question. Right? Right? And that is, they share, you know, if it's possible. I just said that. Right? For the Platonic, you know, for the boasting rights of being, you know, the Platonic, you know, representative of this category. Right? Like, if there's only one av, then it's clear. And if there's more than one main av, so then, you know, what does that mean? You could say, platonically speaking, there can't be two. I don't know. Do we have a definitive view on that? No.
We have to ask Cole.
What?
We have to ask Cole.
But that's Cole?
Yeah.
A lot of people that we could consult. Okay. So, I was going to ask David. I thought he was our resident. Anybody philosophy major?
I believe Shu is getting a master's in Jewish philosophy.
Jewish philosophy. Okay. Anyways, so everybody understands me. We're with me. Okay, fine. So it could be that Rashi and others who believe in Me'ina Av for various purposes, to avoid, in other words, the stature problem of Tolda, are basically saying, you know, basically there's the Av. It's not two chaloses within the Av, the Rav and Notei. However, the Rambam and the Ritzva hold that there's a model of multiple Avos where they really are different chaloses. Right? The Rambam's view in Hilchos Shkagos about, you know, Shabbosos, you know, kigufin mukhlakin, or you know, diyah shebenetayim mechalek, pretty pirshu mishnayos also maybe. It establishes is what we saw earlier in the year, right? We could talk shorthand that the me'ena avs are different. There's an afkamina. Moreover, the way the Rambam sets it up, right, and maybe Rashi too, actually, the toldos issue from the different avos. But even more, that amazing Ritva, right, where the Ritva was suggesting that two amazing things, right, but that the tolda of one main av and the tolda of another main av, you know, may not be, you know, identical. Regarding Asan Kulam Behelamachad Chayvachas. Wow. Then what we're really saying is that it looks like there are 39 Avos Malacha, but that's only true in a limited way. There are 39 categories of Avos Malacha, and then within Avos Malachos, there may be Me'ein Avos Malacha, which have their own toldos and their own nafkamina consequences regarding the toldos of Me'ein A and Me'ein B and Me'ein C. We're talking about different mechayvim in some respect. Again, what's also fascinating about that Ritva, as we discussed, you didn't have to say this, but it is a very compelling view, and that is, sometimes you're memayit when you're marabem. Because if you do the main avs, you know, and their toldos together, then everything, you know, gets, you know, homogenized. Okay? Which you didn't have to say. Because the Me'ains are so close to each other, you could have said, no, the only reason the Me'ains have their own toldos is because they're different to begin with. Not different enough to be mechayiv of different things, but since the toldos are, so that's a chiddush, but a very understandable chiddush, very fetching chiddush, if you ask me, of the Ritva. And that is that you're a Me'ait when you're Marbe, because the common denominators kind of, you know, eclipse the differences. Again, I don't. This is Chazara. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm trying to show is that there are two models of kind of Me'ina. One is different Mechaivim within, and even then it's complicated. And the other is just a hierarchy comment and nothing more. For example, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is the question we discussed, right? Do you have to be Masra? Or forget Rabbi Eliezer. Do you have to be Masra in general? Let's say you have to be Masra, told him. That we didn't discuss, but we should have. Told the b'mokobib al shema, that we discussed, right? Do you have to be master according to that view? Told al shem, it's me'enav? Let's say for the Ritva or for the Rambam? Do you have to say the right ones, Zoreya or Noteya? Right? Or if you have to, or what if you say, Ofe mevashel? And according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? If you what does he say about Me'ein Avs? To the Binchayv Shtayim. Me'ein Avs to each other. So, again, without going into more of it, I'm just trying to show that you can have a model of two Avos within a category that really are kind of two Mechayvim. For us, that would mean that if you take seriously that there's a killer boar and a mazik boar, right, that they are different. We'll talk what that means in a minute. They're two different chaloses. Now, again, what are the consequences of being different chaloses in Hilchos Shabbos? We've seen some and speculated about some. What are the consequences about being two chaloses in the Zikin? We'll get to it soon. Right? One that Eli already mentioned, right? Possibility of Petur Kalim, unless there's some other compensating explanation for it, which may be. But the Pashtos, that seems like a big one. Or two Psukim, right? Ki Yichra Ki Yiftach, correct? Or no, what we mean by two Avos is that, you know, the assumption is that Avos and Toldos matter. In other words, we're not saying that the Tachlis, which unites them and defines all of them completely. And again, the Tzura part is a past, you know, historically interesting footnote about reconstruction or epistemology. Like, how do we get from A to B to C to D? This is how we did it. That's fascinating. Is it legally significant? Maybe not. Right? If that's all that Avos and Toldos were about, then what do we care whether we call something Av and a Toldo or we call it Me'ein Av? In the end of the day, what we're just saying is, right, that the Tachlis, which defines all, or which they have in common, is the Mechayev. So who cares? What's the Sol Shaka V'Tarya about? Right? Even if we think that Avos and Toldos, that there is a stature difference, that there's some difference, what we still might say is the main of, is just avoiding that, like we said before. So main of, now, let's also make a small adjustment, and here's where Taharos becomes a slightly, maybe better paradigm. So let's talk about Taharos for a second. Are there main of and Taharos? Is there Me'ein Av and Taharos? Are you?
Maybe if you have a maximalist view of Taharos Kachal.
Sure, or Taharos Kachal, depending on certain perspectives, right? Or
Mace versus Av?
Hmm?
Just like a Mace
Asimov
versus
Av. Kind of like a Me'ein Av. What else? I mentioned other cases when we talked about Taharos Kachal. A couple of them, but one of them in particular I mentioned because that's a very obvious one.
Mishkav Azav,
right? Depending on how you look at it, if you say that the what we call the chalos idea, not the cloning or the, you know, whatever idea, like Mishkav Azav, you know, that isn't, it's not that, you know, the Mishkav Azav retains, you know, the, you know, the tumma level of the zav or the shame of the zav, but it's a chalos of tumma zav through mishka, and then cherev kachalal also. So then you have kind of main av. Now the main av, not fully, but kind of, right? Now the main av there also isn't exactly like what we have in the zikin, as we'll see in a second, or what we have in this case in the zikin. But in some respects, it's a little more. Because if you're talking about Zoreya and Noteya, right, you're talking about equal Me'ein Avs, pretty much. Oh, we're going to stop in a few minutes. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what do you call it? The drop? What? I'm sorry, that's what they call it?
That's where they could put it.
Where I understand. Oh, he said, where can I drop it off? He said,
yeah.
Where's the...
Yeah.
Like, I'm just curious how, like, how these things are perceived.
The real military drops it.
Right. And, you know, I'm always trying to get new material. Or we'll say to understand better, you know, to expand my horizons. So, in a sense, the Av, the difference is that the boar, the killer boar, the mazik boar, right, have more different, more obvious different physical characteristics, right, than Zoreya and Noteya, in one respect. right, Zorea Noteya, well, it's dialectical, we say. Zorea Noteya, or Mevashel and Ofev, right, the Tsuros are more different, let's say. But the stature, let's say, and the effect is identical. Correct? If we're talking about the Avi Avos HaTumma and the Cher of Kecholo, or the Zav and the Mishkav HaZav, right, it's clear that there's also some sort of a, or there would have been, if not for this Chiddush of the main Av, a Hadraga, a you know, derogation of the level. Because right, there is a process, like we see in Tumma. In Bor, right, it's something in between those, because in Bor, right, it's the same tzura of a pit, right, but it's not of equal stature. It's not like Tumma, again, where, the Nezek pit is not a child or an offspring, of the Misa, pit. That's certainly not the case. But like Cherev Kechalol and Mishkav HaZav, right? There, one could have thought that there was a clear hierarchy. Right, a killer pit is a deeper pit physically, and a more dangerous pit, which is what we even more seriously care about. So in that sense, it's not Zorea and Noteya. Now, the question that we're asking, though, having said that, is the same. And that is, these are different chalos pits, and we'll talk about nafkamis in just a second, and we'll follow through with them on Sunday. Or, no, what we really mean is that there's a certain common denominator of what constitutes a pit. Right? We're not talking about two machaivim, even two chalosim. Those are two different things, too. We'll get to in a second. But we are talking about kind of stature within still being an av. Right? There's a difference. This is a killer pit. That's a damage pit. It's all one chalos pit. Pits work in the same way. Pits are obligate you financially for the same reason. Right? The transition from a Nezek pit to a killer pit, let's say if you add a little bit of depth to the existing pit, is not a radical transformation, it's not a new creation. Right? It's the same Machaya, but they're both, but this one is a danger to Nezek and the other is a danger to Misa. So the difference is in the natural, we'll call it this, in the natural application of the financial consequences. Right, there's a natural difference, within the world of Bor. Right, in theory, although this is not true, right, as far as I know, it's not true. Right, we could have had infinite, avos of pits. Right, you could have said, oh, this is a killer pit for, this kind of, death, and this is a killer pit for that kind of a depth. I would say depth, but the depth could be part of the dimensions, the depth, the air quality. If the autopsy, we're against autopsies, but if it establishes, that he died of asphyxiation, so you need a 14.2, Richter scale pit, and if he died of internal injuries, then this kind of a pit, and maybe in Mazik too. Well, you could have said, oh, this is a pit that endangers broken bones, and this is a pit dictates a loss of mobility. This one is, not so conducive to your skeletal health, and so on and so forth, right? So those are toldos. Those are different mechayvim. No, it's a different application, a different shiur. How mishuna, how anticipated, how, we'll get to this in a second, you know, how singularly responsible, you know, the pit is for your predicament or for the outcome. Right? So one could have said that that's what we mean by the Gemara has two, and there could have been more. But by having only two and breaking it down, you know, between Mazik and Misa, so that's just a, you know, Eilat Davar Sof, those are the main categories. You know, it's a simplification, a very legitimate one. Or is that a further indication, since Misa and Mazik, in the world of you know, responsibility, are very, very different, right? If the difference isn't just quantitative, so maybe the implication of limiting it to the two and not examining in each case what we call omed or omdin lenezakin, the sugya later on in Achovel, you know, that could have had infinite bores. Right? Okay. So, let's talk for a minute, one more minute, about, oh, we're going to stop in a second, about other cases in Nezikin. Do we have other main ha'avs in Nezikin? Talk a little bit about Shabbos. Talk a little bit about Tumah. Right? The examples of both are not 100%, but they certainly are food for thought in terms of being more like Avos and Toldos, or more like just Hechatimtzis, like I'm describing now, as opposed to different Chaloses, maybe even different Mechayvim. Okay. And in Ezekiel, what do we know? Zecharia, what do we know in Ezekiel? Things that we've seen already. Nothing.
Some beyond. There's a possibility, and the Gemara does, that Negifa is also an Av.
Negifa and Negicha. Right? And then we had also Sajagon. Right? About the possibility of, you know, a killer Karen and a Mazik Karen, right? Which actually parallels this discussion, correct? Which is not a coincidence. The Riva idea, right, of Muad Mitchila and a Muad only Al Yidei Hada'a, right? In terms of Karen, Mechubar Karen Talush, Havamina, that would have been two Avos according to one view, correct? That's probably, again, maybe two mechayvim. Sounds like two mechayvim. We talked about, again, that lashon of the Rajba in the sugya about the difference between tam, keren tam, and keren muad, right? Being a distinction, right? We talked about ourselves, you know, whether there are four kerens, two kerens, three kerens, or one keren, correct? So, the idea, now again, in some of those cases, if you talk about Tam and Muad, clearly, you're talking about, you know, different Mechayv, or different Chaloses, if you think they're two. Negifa and Negicha, right, or Mechubar and Talush, that's more of an open question. Okay, so when it comes to Bor, what would be maybe some of the Nafkamina that we would anticipate? So number one, different Psukim. Are there two psukim or one pasuk? Minyan mitzvah, that's Yerushalmi, certainly, correct? It's also a little bit of the Bavli, depending on how you read this very challenging Shakamataria of like four lines. In what sense, Ellie? Well, you already read, which you alluded to. Let me, just the language of the Gemara itself. Where the Gemara originally, Ilei ma'av yud v'toldates, lo kes ksivi v'lo yud ksivi. Right? Meaning what? So that's not even Avin Tolda, that's just what? Hechatimtzis? Dvarim ha-mazikim to the extent that they're really mazikim? Either in an anticipatory way or even in a reconstructive way? There's just bor ha-mazik? Halakasha. V'ames yelom rachmana. The Kimla Rabbanan, Yud Avdin Misa, Tes Nezakin Avdi, Misa Lo Avdi. No, there's an Avna Tolda. Because the Pasuk implies that there's something called a killer bor and something else called a Nezek bor, namely that if you badai in a boar, that we don't automatically, right, treat it, right, as a chiyuv, as a chiyuv. Right, but there are two still ways to read that line in the Gemara. Namely, so the dinim are implied, and the dinim imply a hierarchy which constitutes Avin Tolda, because the Torah is speaking about one, and it's a Tolda because it's Adam Furish Bakra, or more than that. Implied in the pasuk that there's a boar that's a killer boar, and therefore there's a boar that's a mazik boar. So both are implied by the Torah. Hard to say. And that's kind of sov ze'av lemisa ze'av lenezakin. But that line, as we say, can leaves us nowhere, basically, because it can have two opposite interpretations. I mean, Avida told, for better or for worse, we kind of know what we're dealing with. On the one hand, right, there's a Platonic case, and there's a, you know, an application, right, and then it's left to us to figure out whether that has legal consequences, right? But when you say something is each the bar lav bar misa, what you're saying is this isn't even Avin Tolda. This is just the yisum of the av, depending on what, you know, what the potential of the bor is, was, you know, in anticipation or in reconstruction. I'll get to that point soon. Correct? Or no. What we're really saying is Vamesia lo, there's an implied two types of, either in the psukim, or you don't need the psukim, or by the psukim focusing on one, they're implying that what you anticipate or and what you reconstruct matters to Mechaibe. That's more differential, more of a differential than an Avin Tolda. Okay, so there's the question how to read the psukim, which why if you fall in a boar, sheltes, and you die, why are you potter? For formal reasons? Because the psukim, it's not called a boar, or it's not a boar misa. Or because lemaisa, the boar didn't kill you, right? So there are other factors involved. We know you died, right? But we don't need an autopsy to know that, you know, there were other factors here, or at least it wasn't kedem misasa. Might be that's a 2 days in Rashi, which we'll examine on Sunday. So there's the psukim, especially the reason why you'd factor potter. There could have been a minyan of mitzvos issue, but we don't have it. Kalim, or Tupsukim, that goes with Tupsukim, what Ellie mentioned already, the Yerushalmi. What about cases where you could isolate the first issue? The, you know, the Kadei Misaso issue, in addition to the formulations. Let's say I can construct cases where the means for Kadei Misaso is there, so that the autopsy, you know, doesn't, we don't need the autopsy to know that this takala killed him, right? But it's still not technically, formally, a killer boar. That would be an important case. What's that case, Moshe? In the sugya later on? Adam? Didn't see yet? Exactly. What's that case? The bor six tfachim.
This four tfachim to the stomach.
This four?
Four tfachim to the stomach.
So the fall is enough to is a killer fall, but not, it's not a killer chafta shel bor. Who would care? Right? Oh, that's going to be critical. What else? The transition, I alluded to it from before, from one bor to the other. Let's say I have a bor ches, and you make a tes, right? And then you have a bor tes, and you make a yud. Or you have a bor yud, and you make a yud aleph, or a bor yud, and you make a chaf. Does any of that matter? Right, in terms of who is the address of this bor, or whether it's shutfus bor, right? So on one level, if we think there's a certain fluidity in bors, and it's one shame bor, And the only question is, you know, the effect. So then, ches to tes, tes to yud, you know, especially the gabe dezikin, right? Maybe even the gabe miso, we'll talk about it. Shouldn't matter very much, because no monumental formal change took place in this transition. But if we think there are two boars, there's a killer boar and a mazik boar, for the very same reason that there might be formal, you know, definitions, you know, that transcend even reconstructing, you know, the tam, you know, hanezek or the tam amisa, so too, you could say istalek bor rishon. You're going to get, you know, over the top impact, you know, for the change. So there are really two questions that we need to consider. We're going to look through the cases. One is whether there really are two chalos shame bors, right? Or everything is one bor and it's echad timtzis. That's what we mean by avos. We mean it's not oven tolda. It's even less than that. Or it's more than that. It's two. That's one question. We should also consider, beyond the question of the chalos shame bor, why there should be a chalos shame bor, and whether or not that doesn't spill over into the Iker Mechayiv of Bor, and maybe even different Mechayivim of the two Bors. And now I come to the question of Tchilas Asiyas al Nezek. And using the seeming kulas or weaknesses of Bor, you know, to characterize it and to make it its defining or strength as well. Meaning, to what extent in Bor, unlike other Mazikin, are we not so much interested in the Maisa Hezek or Mamoncha Sheloshamar, right, Sheachrayi Lenezek, but we're interested in the Yitzira Samazik, the creating of the Takal. And we, if you focus on that, is that a reason to think more forwardly, more anticipating than reconstructing, by saying, you created a killer boar, right, you created a Mazik boar. Forget what then happens in the boar, although that matters, obviously, because if nothing happens, you're not going to be chayiv. And if something happens that is doesn't cohere with what the bor is, you're not going to be chayiv. But the point is, the formalistic dinim may be a consequence precisely of the fact that the labeling in advance is the real mechayiv. Okay, that's what I want to do on, not Sunday, Monday. Okay.